Let's turn in our scriptures this evening to the book of Isaiah. Going to the Old Testament and the book of Isaiah and the chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We'll read the first 7 verses together. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, the song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked, that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done it? Wherefore, when I looked, that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. Amen. We'll just end our reading there, halfway through the verse number 7. The verses which we have just read here, Isaiah chapter 5, is a song. That's obvious from verse number 1. Read verse 1 with me. It says, now will I sing. So it's obviously a song. But what's the song about? Because every song has a purpose and a reason. Well, he says, now will I sing to my well-beloved. A song, and here it is, of my beloved, touching his vineyard. I understand this is kind of language which may be difficult to comprehend the first time you read it. What's it talking about? Well, when he says it's a song about my beloved, Isaiah is talking about his beloved God and Savior. He's talking about the God who has blessed him and done him good. But the song is also about a vineyard. Beloved who has a vineyard, and the vineyard is, here we are, in this world. The world is God's handmade vineyard. You see, what Isaiah is doing here is, and if you've studied English, you'll know the term, he uses similes and metaphors here to describe both his Savior and the people that are around him. I'll make an example. If someone was to sing about love and describe, I don't know, love as being like a rose, that's a sort of a simile, it's more of a metaphor. They're using the rose to describe what love is like. Lovely, tender, beautiful to have. And here's Isaiah, and he says this world is like a vineyard. Ballymoney is like a vineyard. Larn, where I minister, is like a vineyard. Now, Northern and Southern Ireland is like a vineyard. Now why? If love is like a rose because of its beauty and tenderness and it's good to have, why is Ballymoney, Larn, north and south of Ireland, why is it like a vineyard? Well, let me tell you. A vineyard has an owner. And so do you. Don't be sitting here thinking tonight that you're in absolute control of your life and you make the decisions. Let me tell you, you have a God, and he's your owner, Jehovah, the one who gave you life, Furthermore, a vineyard has a purpose. And the purpose of a vineyard is to, well, bring forth good produce. Essentially grapes. To satisfy and to please its owner. And that's what this world ought to be like. You're a vine in God's vineyard. I assume you know what a vineyard is. It's a field with rows of vines. And the vines produce branches and the branches produce grapes. And in scripture we're likened to vines in a vineyard. And we're meant to be bringing forth, well, produce which pleases the Lord. Ought to be producing love toward God. Obedience to his word and to his way. Righteousness. We're meant to be producing clean and pure thoughts. We ought to be walking before God outwardly and inwardly. That's the kind of fruit we ought to be producing. But maybe you're more tonight like a corrupt vine. Not bringing forth good fruit, but instead bringing forth corruption. And you're full of self-centeredness. No time whatsoever for your owner and for your God. What kind of... Let me put it this way. If that was the way a vine acted, let's say you had a vine, it did nothing but bring forth corrupt fruit and everything else, what would you do with it? You'd cut it down. You'd cast it away. That's what the Lord does to any individual who lives a very ungodly lifestyle. So here tonight we have Isaiah's song. It's about his beloved and his beloved's vineyard. Let's look at verse number 2 here, because we're going to consider this song. And firstly, this song is about a vineyard that had a great opportunity. Now, I need you to get what I'm saying there. This song is about a vineyard that had a great opportunity. Look at verse number 2 with me. It says in verse 2, "And he..." That's the owner of the vineyard, the Lord. "And he fenced it." He fenced it. You might say, what's so exciting about that? Well, let's keep thinking here, because he's using similes, he's using metaphors to describe something. Now, if you have a vineyard and somebody sets a fence around the vineyard, why would you do that? It's to protect the vines. And the Lord has set up a fence around you. To protect you. You see, there's no doubt about this. Let's just make this clean and clear cut tonight. If the devil had his way, every one of you would be dead, buried, and in hell years ago. But for the grace of God that has spared you to this day, he set a fence around you, protected you. Furthermore, the attractions of this world and your own, and you'll know what I mean here, and your own rebellious, wicked desires will have you so corrupt and your life destroyed that also you would be perished long ago. But for God's providence upon you. Now, am I not right in saying this, that there's been influences in your life and situations which have stopped you going further and further into sin? Isn't that right? Whatever you care to mention, maybe your parents, maybe a good friend, maybe the Lord restraining your health so you couldn't go out and do things. Do you know what that is? That's the Lord setting up his fence and protecting you from death, hell, the world, the devil. So here's a vineyard. And the vines within the vineyard were protected by a fence. Just like you. You're like a vine protected by a fence. Let's go on. Verse number 2 says, "And he," the Lord, "fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof." He gathered out the stones. That simply means the ground that the vines were about to be planted in was stony ground. It simply says here the stones were taken and they were gathered out. They were taken out of the ground, and that made a good ground. You see, if there's no stones, that gives a good opportunity for the plant to drive down its roots and live and do well. Isn't that true of you tonight in Ballymoney? The Lord has set you in good ground. Good ground, and what I mean by that is, you hear the gospel preached freely. You're in a good place to be saved, a good place to grow in Christ, a good place to be prepared and ready for eternity. The Lord has set you in a good ground, good place. You're in a church tonight. This place regularly preaches the word of God and how to be saved. We were singing about the gospel. Rebecca very clearly ministered a word and song about being saved to you. You have every opportunity to be saved already. You're setting good ground. And there's people in this world who will never hear the gospel. People in foreign lands, they won't hear of Christ, the mighty to save. But here you are. Let me make this clear also. And if you enter into God's eternity unsaved, having had these many opportunities, you expect to be found in the deepest, darkest chasms of hell. For the Lord has given you marvelous opportunities, and you've despised them and rejected them every time. Furthermore, the vineyard was fenced. The stones were gathered out. Then the verse says, and it was planted with the choicest vine. Planted with the choicest vine. Now, the owner of the vineyard that we're speaking of here, the Lord, who is the owner of the vineyard, went to great lengths to prepare a suitable place for his plants. So it's obvious that the owner of the vineyard, having taken so much care and preparation for the ground, would only take the best plant that he could get and planted in the middle of his vineyard. You know, the world is God's vineyard. And you and me, we're his plants. He's planted us in the sense that he's given us life. He set us in a good place and good ground and everything else. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and the verse 28. Because we are God's choice vine, choice people, the crown of God's creation. Genesis 1 verse 28. And God blessed them. That's the man and woman that he made. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion, control, leadership over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, every living thing that moved upon the earth. You see, when God made man, he made man right at the apex. Man was the crown of God's creation. That's you and me. That's a marvelous position we're placed in, folks. We're the crown of God's creation, made even in the image of God, the chiefest of the owner's plants. You know, you and I, we're not like the beast of the field. We're not like a dog. We're not like the fish of the sea. We're very different. What makes us different? We the soul. Well, I suppose maybe we could say some of us are a little bit like fish. I'll tell you why. You all know what a goldfish is. Do you know a goldfish only has like a 2-second memory span? Maybe sometimes we're like that. Maybe a wee bit absent-minded. But let me say this, we're different from beasts, from dogs, from whatever you want to mention, because we have a soul that's going to live forevermore. Like our sister just sang. Let me put it to you again, and you make sure you answer this. Have you ever thought about your soul? Have you ever thought of where you're going to spend God's eternity? Are you ready to meet your maker? I want to ask you, the Lord has given you such a blessed position, the crown of God's creation. And how have you treated that position?
How have you used your rationale, your ability to communicate and speak? If you're unsaved, I've no doubt you probably use it to take God's name in vain, blaspheme the one who made you, taking your ability to reason and think about awful and wicked things and godless things. The Lord has blessed us. How have you used the life God has given you? The verse goes on to say, it was fenced, the stones were gathered out, it was planted with the choicest vine. Halfway down in the verse it says, there was built a tower in the midst of it. There was built a tower. I think in a vineyard. We're not thinking here about a wee patch of ground about 6 foot square. We're talking here about acres. Acres of a field lined with vines. And right in the middle, or at perhaps each corner, there would have been towers. What do you think a tower would have been there for? Because remember, all this is pictorial language. Why do you think there would be a tower in the middle of a vineyard? Well, primarily, it would have been there for the owner of the vineyard. He would have dwelt there when he was working in the field. That would have been his place to stay. Furthermore, there would have been watchmen in the towers. And they would have been watching all around to see if there would have been any beasts or any thorns coming up. They could have saw them coming and went and attacked them and dealt with them. You see, again, this is just like our situation in Ballymoney in the whole of Northern Ireland. God's presence is here. The tower meant that was the place where the owner of the vineyard dwelt. And let me tell you, God's tower is in this country because God dwells in this land. Christ is still saving. Christ is still redeeming. Christ is still changing lives. That means you still have an opportunity to conceive. Because Christ is still here and working. Furthermore, as I said, the watchtower was there. So that watchmen could live in it. And when they saw something coming, let's say again a beast or whatever, they would get out of their tower and they would go and chase the animal, the beast, away. And you know, the Lord has set watchmen in this town to watch out for your soul. Ministers, evangelists, prayer warriors, godly parents. They're all there. What they're doing, they're watching you, the vine. And when they see something which is going to damn your soul, something that's going to destroy you, sin that's creeping in, they'll deal with it for your good. Isn't that right? Isn't that what this church is doing? Contending against sin for your good. The last thing that was in this vineyard was a wine press. I hope you all are looking at the verse, verse number 2. If it quarters the way down, it says, and also made a wine press therein. There was a wine press in the middle of this vineyard. Now again, think about what all this is. What's a wine press for? Well, when you have vines, vines are meant to produce good grapes. And those grapes are meant to be taken, plucked off. And they're meant to be crushed. Crushed into a juice. And that juice is then made and given to the owner of the vineyard to satisfy the owner. That's what a vineyard's for. Now here we are in a great vineyard, this world. And we're all vines. And we're, as I said, supposed to be. Supposed to be producing good fruit for the Lord. But let's just be honest. We all desperately, miserably feel. In fact, we're all full of sin, full of unrighteousness. All that we do deserves going to hell. But isn't it marvelous that God in mercy set up another wine press in a place called Calvary? And there you have Christ. And he went there and he was crushed upon Calvary's tree. He was like the good grape. And when he was crushed, he satisfied the owner of this world, the owner of this vineyard, Jehovah God. That means if we stand inside of Christ, if we trust in Christ, if we depend upon what Christ did, God's wrath is satisfied. That means we go free. That means we're saved. Praise God, there's a wine press upon Calvary's tree, there to save sinners such as me.
Secondly, here as we move on, because firstly, we saw this was a vineyard that had a great opportunity. A great opportunity to do well.
So do you. You've had a great opportunity to do well, to be saved, to come to Christ.
But you know, this vineyard brought forth disappointing results. Look at the end of verse 2. It says there, and he looked, the owner of the vineyard looked, that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard? And I have not done it. Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought forth wild grapes. You see, when you look at all these things regarding this vineyard, it had a fence to protect it. The stones were taken away, so it was upon good ground. It was a choice of plants, the best plant that there was. There was a tower set in the middle of it to protect it and watch over it. There was a wine press set in the middle of it to draw forth everything that would satisfy the owner. And a wine press set for us on Calvary's tree to satisfy God. You know, everything has been provided for this vineyard. The Lord has neglected nothing. Nothing which would help this vineyard to grow. Let's be clear. The Lord has neglected nothing in giving you opportunities to be saved. So if you die and you go to hell, you're to blame. You cannot stand and say, Lord, I never heard, I never knew. If you go to hell, it's your own fault. You've had a good opportunity. But so did this vineyard. Had a great opportunity. Yet, maybe like you, it brought forth pretty disappointing results. In fact, this vineyard turned out to be repulsive. It seemed to just take everything for granted which its owner did for it. The fence and the stones removed and the tower and everything else. It took all those things for granted and it just went and did its own thing. The verses say that it brought forth wild grapes. Do you see that? Verse 2 and the end of verse 4. It brought forth wild grapes. Do you know what a wild grape is? It's a corrupt grape. Corrupt. That means the owner of the vineyard couldn't take it. Couldn't eat it. Couldn't make it into any kind of juice to please the owner. Instead, it was these vines, all they produced was things that were degenerate. Corrupt. Filthy, useless, hellish. But I'd be right in saying that's just like you. That's all you've done. Your whole life brought forth corruption and filthy things with an unclean and dirty mind and everything else. In no way you're ever here. In no way you've ever lived for God. You've never done anything for the one who's given you life and the one who's made you. The Lord has blessed you tonight, hasn't He? He's given you life. He's given you health. He's given you prosperity. He's given you protection. All of these things that we have seen already. And what have you done? Rejected Him. Lived without Him. Lived, in the sense, taken all these things for granted. Your life and your breath and everything else. Lived your own way.
Look at verse number 4 with me. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 4.
Here's the words of the Lord, the owner of the vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done it?
Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. What more could the owner of the vineyard have done?
What more could he have done to help this vineyard to grow? Now let me apply that to you. What more could the Lord do for you?
He's brought you here tonight. brought you face to face with the reality that you need to think about your soul. You need to be saved. You know, there is one more thing the Lord can do. He can forgive you. Praise God. There's a Savior in heaven. Hallelujah. Who can forgive you for your sins. That's the message of the gospel. Just thirdly and finally, this song is about a vineyard that was forsaken. I have to say, the more I read these last couple of verses, the more they grieve my soul. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Now, go to. I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. You see, the vineyard remained corrupt. The vines in it remained corrupt. And they remained rebellious. And they continued to bring forth corrupt fruit, grieving the owner. It tells us what the owner did. In a sense, he got rid of the vineyard because it was rebellious. Let's take each week three is here. It says in verse number 5, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Here's the first thing. I will take away the hedge. What do we see a few verses ago in verse number 2? That God has set up a fence. A fence around this vineyard. And now he's saying he's going to take down the hedge. They're the same thing. Because the hedge would be around to protect it. And so if the fence is gone, if the hedge is gone, you'll know what that means. Protection's gone. So sin is allowed to enter in and do its worst. And eventually destroy the vineyard. That's what happened to you. If you continue to rebel against God, he'll take away all restraints. He'll take away the godly parents who restrain you. He'll take away every gospel influence upon you. And allow you to enter into the world and all its filth and wickedness and ruin your soul and your life. Furthermore, the Lord said he would take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. Let's go on. And break down the wall thereof. The Lord says, when you break down the wall. Remember what we said a few verses ago, verse number 2? That the owner of the vineyard, he gathered out the stones thereof. But if you break down a wall, what does that mean? Well, the ground again will be stony. Because where does the wall go? It goes into the ground. The ground will be bad, stony, and the plants will not be able to grow. Again, this is the Lord speaking about taking away every good opportunity you have. You're on good ground. Good ground, a good place to hear the word of God, to be saved, to grow and to prosper. You keep rebelling against the Lord. You make sure you understand this. Eventually, the Lord will take away every opportunity to hear the gospel. You'll not hear the words about being saved. And the Lord will leave you to go in your sinful way. I am terrified for you that that could happen tonight. The Lord would take away the walls, put you in stony ground, you'd never hear the gospel again. That's why you need to be saved now, when the Lord calls. Furthermore, verse number 6, as we work on down through this, he says, I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged. It shall not be pruned nor digged. Again, we saw in verse number 2 that the Lord worked and labored and did so much for this vineyard to prosper its growth. But now the Lord says it won't be pruned, it won't be digged. You see, the vines are full of ingratitude. In no way were they grateful for what the owner of the vineyard did. Rather, they lived in ignorance and in absolute arrogance. showing no kind of fruit, doing nothing for the owner. It's not how you lived. You've never done anything for Christ. You haven't even asked Him to save you. He died upon Calvary's tree. You haven't had enough gratitude even to bow your knee and confess your sin and ask Him to save your soul. I don't understand that. You're dying. And you're going to a lost eternity. An everlasting hell. But Jesus can save. The next thing there was the briars and the thorns would come up. We're trying to fly through this, young people. Verse number 6, halfway through it. The briars, up shall come the briars and the thorns. You see, there's no tower anymore. And the watchmen aren't there to stop the thorns growing. They're not there to stop the weeds growing. And what happens when thorns and thistles and weeds grow around a vine? Do you know what happens? Think about it. The thorns choke it. They wrap themselves around it. And they're not satisfied until the vine is dead. That's what sin does. That's what Satan will love to do to your soul. That's what the world, the flesh, and the devil aims to do with you. To choke you. To choke all gospel influence. To choke all conviction of sin. And damn you forevermore. These all sound like grim facts. And you know what? They are. But it's a reality. And I don't want to leave this pulpit tonight without you being very clear about them. Then the last thing here in verse number 6. It says that the rain. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it. You see, the vines didn't bring forth good grapes. And because they never brought forth good grapes, they never refreshed the owner. No juice is aware for the owner to drink and to be refreshed by. So the very thing that it did to its owner, the owner did in return. Stop the rain falling upon it. Stop refreshing it. Stop blessing the vines. Let me tell you, as I said, the Lord has given you life, given you blessings, given you prosperity, protected you, done a lot for you. Common grace. At any moment, the Lord can take all those things away, including your life. You don't give your life to the Lord. The Lord will take it away and cast your soul into hell forevermore. Let me just say in conclusion here, there are three phrases that I deliberately didn't deal with in verses 5 and 6. Because I wanted to leave them to the last, just to really drive this message home. In verse number 5, it says, I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. Verse number 6 also says, at the very end, it shall be trodden down. Sorry, the end of verse number 5. Beginning of verse number 6 says, I will lay it waste. There's three things. It will be eaten up, trodden down, wasted. I want you to see the thoroughness there. If it's eaten up, if it's trodden down, it was absolutely wasted. There's nothing more could be done to destroy it. It's absolutely destroyed. And make no mistake here. These three phrases are describing hell. It says to be eaten up. That means devoured. And hell is described as a place of devouring fire. It also says here in the end of verse number 5 that they'll be trodden down. And trodden down is a form of torment. If you're lying on the ground and people are trodding over you, that's tormenting you. That's what hell is like. Continual torment. And then it says it'll be wasted. That means destroyed. Devoured, tormented, and destroyed. It doesn't mean annihilated. It doesn't mean destroyed out of existence. It means eternally being destroyed. Let's get the reality of what hell's like here. You'll enter into hell's darkness forevermore. It describes it as being like a pit, always falling. That means no solid ground. It's common to us, we're glad we're standing upon solid ground. No solid ground in hell, continually falling, continual darkness, continual weeping, continual crying. And the thing about it is, all your weeping, all your crying will be completely unheard in the midst of it all. The multitudes that are there. And you know, I really, really, I mean this. I really wish I could say that hell is only for a few years. But it isn't. It really is forever. It really never stops. I can't even comprehend that. The same phrase which the Lord says about his people, they will be eternally with Christ, is the same words he uses in regards to those who perish. They will eternally be in torments. It just never ends. You have a few years in this world, and you've got an opportunity, and you've got a responsibility before God to be saved tonight. Why would you not come and seek the Lord to be saved? I don't want you to end up with this vineyard, which was ungrateful, which was rebellious, which stank and sinned. Oh, that tonight you would come to Christ. He's the one who forgives. He's the one who saves. And that tonight your life will be turned around. You wouldn't be a vineyard bringing forth corrupt fruit. While you would be a godly vineyard, living for Christ, the vine pleasing to its owner. Be saved tonight.